Good morning, Daddy.
Good morning, Elaine. How are you?
Good, good. How about you?
Very good, thank you.
I just came in from the garden. I picked a bowl full of snow peas.
Oh, how nice.
Yes, I love them. Do you eat them?
Yes. Yes, I've never ground them, though.
They're easy to grow.
Well, I'll have to try that.
Yes.
So apparently you're having nice weather.
Actually, I was rained on a little bit. So, but that's nice because we needed rain.
Yeah.
Has arrived.
Someone just joined Elaine and Betty.
Good morning, it's Anita.
Hey, Anita, how are you?
All right.
Good.
To work, but anyway.
You'll be going to work this morning, did you say?
Yeah. I have to be there, and it's 9 now, so. Has anybody had any problem with, I've got quite chunky stuff in my protein or my vital balance when I don't mix stuff with it. I had been mixing some chia seeds and fiber and stuff with it, and I hadn't noticed it. Now that I'm trying to drink it straight, well, I've got these chunky white stuff in there.
I never had that problem.
Mm.
Do you shake it up?
Well, I've got one of those the little Neekan Whizzers thingies that you put the batteries in that turn on and it blends it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, wow, that's strange.
Yeah, it whips it up good. It's
Char and Joanne. Has arrived.
Oops.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I did get the right line. As much as I fooled around with it this morning, I wasn't sure I was going to get in on the right call. How are you guys doing?
Very good.
Right.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah. It was very nice.
We celebrated birthdays. Anniversaries and birthdays and let's see, graduations, and I told Denny, I said, you know, my kids, three of the six of my kids, daughters and son-in-law, and it's the daughters that usually get on and do this, they send emails back and forth, and every time they add to what's already there, and you don't never know which one it's coming from until you read down about half. Well, you do because you know what email it came from. But there's so many people in on the conversation, you can't figure out who's talking and whose house they're really going to and what the time of day is. And I go, you know, and there's some of them, times they're linked up like 15 on one page, you know, and you don't know whether you missed one of them because did I get all the birthdays that were named in the different ones? Oh, and let's add this to it, you know, and they've got, I'm going, there's got to be an easier way for Grandma to figure this out. Because by the time we get up to the day, it may have been changed to 3 different locations before we get through. And I go, oh, Denny, just call and straighten out the whole mess for me and tell me verbally what they've said, where we end up at.
My husband gets corporate calls like, or emails like that that have been passed on from person to person back and forth, and by the time he reads them, he doesn't know what's going on.
Isn't it okay, Ben? I'm not the only one, because I was beginning to think, you know, my age was showing up on me or something, because I go, how in the world can I track this? You know, I'm going, Anyway, it was fun. I did forget one of the dishes I was taking. I'm going to give you one of the recipes a little bit later. But anyway, one of them is an old family dish that I modified just enough. And two of the three said, I can't tell the difference, Mom. It tastes the same to me. And I used the, instead of the ground beef in it, which I was not going to put in it because I wanted to eat some of them too and try it. Instead of that, I put in the Morningstar crumbles, which I don't use very often, but I remember the head of the, Spittleback, the director of the program, not the director, the assistant director of the program back in Maine said, you know, once in a while when I have company, I still go back to the transitional, things that you can use, like Morningstar. Anyway, the Morningstar crumbles or the knockoff meats, and they're not soy isolate. I don't think there's any soy isolate in them. Seems like I looked and there wasn't. Something I found it in, but I don't think it was that this weekend. And so they're not horrible, horrible, just that they're, you know, processed stuff. But they do give an incredible resemblance. In fact, Nick went back to his son and said, Jake, you like those. You know what that had in it? That didn't have the real hamburger in it. It had the other stuff in it that I've been telling you. You can't tell the difference. He goes, oh, good shot. I really like those. But it's a bread wrapper and then with a stuffing of hamburger cabbage, garlic, and just salt and pepper in it. And it's really simple to make as long as you're going to make the bread. I made a 5-loaf batch, and I think there was, let's see, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 4 of the 5 were the little tiny ones. I made some for the kids that were younger, so they could actually just take one, but their parents are really good. They wouldn't even let them take a whole one. They said, here, you can just have a bite off of this. If you're not going to eat it, we're not going to mess it up. Oh, that was real thoughtful. So, but they, of course, knew the amount of effort that goes into putting, you know, from the homemade bread all the way through into it. So, anyway, we had a great time. Lots of food. It made me think I'm going to make enchiladas, bean enchiladas. Beans were the filling. The only violation was the cheese on top, and I still had one bite of it, which didn't bother me at all, but I don't like eating very much when it comes to cheese. I do have a reaction on that pretty easily. So did any of you do anything different food-wise for the weekend or anything else that you'd like to share?
No, I didn't do anything. We were busy running, so I didn't get to make anything, unfortunately. Today will be my day.
Today's the day. Well, I'm replenished with, let's see, what did I end up with? 3 salads. Yeah, 3 salads in the refrigerator, which is going to hold us for a good portion of the week. Well, I'm going to share a couple of them with at least one of the neighbors because I haven't done that recently, and I think she'll like it. I did also make a trifle and took it with fresh strawberries, and I used Furman's recipe, but I beat it to death, and it didn't turn out as good as I wanted it to, but I know what I did, and that was a knockoff of the bean brownies, and I ended up calling them because they were very fudgy and very heavy. It had me not putting, it was a little different way of putting it together than what I was used to, it had me not putting the flour in until the last minute, where I had dumped mine in. But that's why mine had to have so much more baking powder in it. And I saw his was cut down to 1 teaspoon of baking powder and no baking soda. Made me nervous. I put 1 teaspoon of baking soda and 1 teaspoon of baking powder. That's how I adjusted it. But I had churned it so much in the food processor to get everything mixed. Oh, and his had dates in it. That was the other thing that made it much heavier and fudgier. I'm going to try it the way he actually says to put it together. I think it'll be really good. But the fudgy bars, the little squares, with the strawberries, and then with the recipe of the topping from Parkview Adventist Medical Center, that is the one that you cooked the, if anybody's made it, I think Jeannie's made it. You bring to boil the agar-agar, which you death has arrived at the Asian market. You're going to pay $6.05. This is the last price, which has been years ago, and it's probably gone up. $6.05 for a little package. It's got about 3 teaspoons in it at the health food store under Eden brand, agar-agar, A-G-A-R. A-G-A-R, two words repeated, and it's a sea vegetable, and it would be like gelatin, but a little bit different consistency, and it does not say organic on it because it comes from the sea. It's harvested from the sea, and so that would probably be a little bit more difficult to get organic in a natural sea vegetable. Anyway, and then at the Asian vegetable, that same $6.05 amount costs you $1.12. So I suggest that you find, and the recipe I bought it for the first time that I paid the $6, which I couldn't believe I did. I mean, I had no idea you could walk into an Asian market and find it. And I was going to make a batch of cheese out of the Uncheese book, cookbook, and it took 2 amounts of the package. So I looked at it and I thought, oh my gosh, that's $13.10. I'm not spending that for those little tiny packets. I'm only going to make a half a batch because what if I don't like the cheese and I spent $13 on one little part of it? And it was a short time later that I can't remember why I found out to get it in the Asian market or whether I just stumbled on it when we were in New York. But anyway, I did find it. But so I'm giving you a heads up. Don't always just read the recipe and go looking, especially in a health food store for it. Or has arrived. So that was one of the ingredients in the topping, which I'm not sure it's ever been sent down because it's not typed up on my computer, but I know it circulated around to some of you. I think Nancy even, she may have even typed it up. It's good. You need to let it set usually just overnight because it thickens up and then you turn it on in the blender again. But that was what I used instead of whipping cream. To me, it was way too sweet because I'd forgotten to cut the sugar back like I normally do. And, but it got, a lot of it got gobbled up. It was still very, very, very rich. Way too much for my taste buds. But it was just another thing that I had to have to remember because with fresh berries out, the trifle really looks nice layered with the chocolate cake or, you know, your knockoff chocolate cake, something that's healthier. And to me, that would be the bean brownies or the beet cake, either one of them, if you want to do something kind of decadent for a potluck or a get-together. Or at your house, wherever you're, you know, whatever you're doing. And I'll make sure I get that modified. But I can give you, anybody have any comments or want to say hi?
Have we talked about, has there been a recipe for a beef cake that we talked about on the call?
Yeah, I think that came off of Oz. No, the Midnight Brownies came off of Oz.
Somebody gave a beet. Yes, too.
Yeah, we've had the beet cake. I haven't made it for a while. I'll have to, let me make a note and I'll look that one up also. Couldn't find my notebook this morning. It's around here. I'll just put it on the bottom of another one here. Can't get lost. Beet cake. And today's the 17th already, the middle of June. I've still got stuff that's not planted in the ground in my garden. Yeah. What?
It's going fast.
Yeah. I mean, yeesh. What, Anita?
I just said it was going fast.
Yeah, it's going to be harvest time, and we're not even going to know that we've planted the garden. At least that's the way I feel, because I've still got more, so much more I want to get in the ground. But I guess maybe the little bit of the pressure's off because I'm going to throw it in the greenhouse if it gets too late. Like more tomatoes and see what they do. Okay, so the recipe for the bread that I made, and I did it with half spelt. It's my old, that dates back to 1975 recipe, and it's really easy. I don't know if any of you guys grind flour or not, but I'm going to give it to you the way it was originally, and then I just want you to cross through the amount because it comes out really good, and especially for you that have got the sourdough starter and have used that, I'll give you the substitution that I used in it, too. And you can use it for regular bread. A little bit heavier than what I was making before with the original recipe. You start out with 5 cups of warm water. It's going to make you a good-sized batch. And I've got a mixer that will take that, but you could cut it in half. 5 cups of warm water, 1/3 cup of honey, and 1/3 cup of blackstrap molasses. Okay, you could cross both of those out, and I put in only, at the very most, 2 tablespoons of molasses. You could probably cut it down to 1 if you're especially, what you can put in, too, if you want to do a real violation, is either the evaporated cane sugar, or you could use white sugar, or you could use turbinado sugar, like 1 tablespoon in, or you can use a vitamin C tablet. Those are all 3 options to not have to put so much sugar in to feed the yeast. It calls for 3 tablespoons of yeast. Just sprinkled and proof it on the water, with the molasses in it if you use a little bit of that. The other thing, because I was using 1 cup of sourdough starter, I want the sourdough benefit in there for digestion as well as the taste, I left out 1 tablespoon. So if you put 1 cup of sourdough starter in there, cut the yeast back to 1 tablespoon. Mine may be, because I've had the yeast for a while, I'm using such a little bit. It didn't proof as fast as it used to, so don't get impatient if it doesn't, because that's what happened to me. It calls for, and I did use 2 tablespoons of salt, because that is actually a five loaf batch of bread. So I did the proofing with the liquid and the sweetness or whatever you're using to help it proof, like the vitamin C. And then I dropped in the salt, and it also, I'm going to stop there. And then you add 12 to 15 cups. It originally was just whole wheat flour. I used a little less than the 12, actually, because my starter that was 1 cup didn't end up 1 cup of just liquid. It had 1/2 cup of flour in it, too, because it's 50% flour, 50% water. For you that haven't done it yet and are planning on doing it later, that adds some of the flour to it. Then I added the flour in about, I started with, let's see, half of the sticks in each category. I did 6 of the spelt, and then I went to the wheat, and I did 5 of the wheat. So I was 1 cup short on the wheat of the 12 and left it in just to add to see. Now, I'm mixing this in a mixing bowl that you can knead bread in. So if you cut it in half because you've got a smaller KitchenAid that you can mix it in with a dough hook, it needs to leave the sides of the bowl if you've made bread before. If you haven't, that's what it needs to do. It needs to clump in the middle, and then you know you've got about the right amount of flour in. So you don't want to add the full amount. even the humidity in the air will affect what amount of flour that you need in there, and also whether it's fresh ground or whether you're using it out of a bag. I was using some out of a bag because it was good flour. I mean, it was Bob's Red Mill or or some that I had picked up from there. Okay, and then for the oil in it, at the same time that I put the flour all in at one time, up to the 11 cups, it calls for 2/3 of a cup of cooking oil. I put 1/2 cup of coconut oil in. And I really like the coconut oil in the bread also. Much better. Much, much better than vegetable oil. And then I just turn it on. I let it knead for 10 minutes. And mine's done. But that's the way I did it in 1975. And that's the original batch. And then see if there was any other replacements. Like I already told you, I did 1/2 whole wheat and 1/2 belt, 50%, 50%. Sourdough made it more digestible, 1 cup of the sourdough starter. And then what I did was you don't have to let it raise at all like you normally do with bread. Raise it once and punch it down. No, none of that. It always went direct from the bowl right into the pans. I do spray the pans or grease them with the coconut oil. I was in a hurry yesterday, so I just used a little bit of spray on them. And I was spraying cookie sheets instead of bread pans. I had one bread pan left. I had misgauged my amounts on the filling, and I'll give you that in a minute. So I started rolling it out. I had already prepared the filling. It's very, very easy. I started with 2 onions, chopped them up fairly fine, and 1 whole head of garlic. I put the onions in first and just did it in a big cast iron skillet and let them caramelize without doing anything except just water, no oil. And I'll explain why as I get to the end of this. Caramelized the onions, and then I threw in the garlic the last couple of minutes and stirred up, made a hole in the middle of the fry pan, put it right on the bottom, and then humped the onions up over the top that were pretty well finished. And that takes maybe 5-8 minutes, depending on how fast you do it, heat-wise. And if you need to add a little moisture, like when you caramelize, do add a tablespoon of water or whatever, a little bit it takes to get it loose from the bottom of the cast iron skillet. But they browned really nicely without any oil whatsoever. And then I took that out because my skillet is huge and it still was not going to be enough to get the cabbage in and stirred around plus the Morningstar. So I took 1 full head of cabbage, regular good old green cabbage, a good size head. I chopped that up. I shredded it just, you know, with a knife and then cross-cut it so it wasn't in long strings. And did that in 4 sections of the head because it was big. I put that all in the pan at once. I had to use a pizza pan over to tell you how big the pan was. I'll measure it and then you'll know. I had to use a pizza pan for a lid because I didn't have any lid that was near the size of it. Maybe I will if somebody didn't walk off with my, here it is, tape measure here in the kitchen. It was a large pizza pan. It's 15 inches in diameter and about 3 inches deep, not quite 3. So it's a big skillet. One of my oldest son gave it to me one day for Mother's Day when he saw me trying to handle it in the little skillet and stir stuff around. And it will fit on and heat very well on my big center burner on my induction stove. So if any of you guys are going that direction, that's another plug for induction range. Didn't you get one, Onita?
Yeah, I did, and I love it.
Oh, isn't it? It's the most wonderful appliance, big appliance I've ever had in my life. I would never go back to anything else. I was just ready to have them install gas with a propane tank hooked up to it, and this was so much simpler. It was more expensive, but it was worth every penny we spent on it, as far as I'm concerned. I put up with that crackpot Gen Air that was a lemon model. I won't say they all are, but the one I had was a lemon model because two or three other people had it. So anyway, I did the cabbage, sauteed the cabbage in there until it was just barely wilted because it needs to be a little bit still chewy because it's going to get baked in the bread wrappers. So that was it. I added salt and pepper to it at the end. Well, when I added the salt and pepper, I also just added the crumbles because I read on the package, all you do is heat them. Everything's pre-cooked, so you don't have to do any cooking. They have a seasoning in it to really give it a fair amount of chew and texture of the meat. The only thing, if you wanted more chew, and Nick says, Mom, they're fine. Don't keep messing with them. He said, I like them the way they are. They taste just like the ones you used to make. And you could add, like, portobello or shiitake mushrooms cut up, not real fine, but small enough to, you know, be definitely bite-sized, and it would give even more chew in it. And I'll try that one of these times, simply because the mushrooms are so stinking good for you, and also because Denny really likes mushrooms. So two other reasons. So then all you do with the bread dough, you do need to make your pan of stuffing that goes in there that I just gave you. So it's done ahead of time, and you can take it. There is a little bit of oil that comes out of those Morningstar, because I could tell the look on it. I didn't even look to see what the amount of oil was in the package. But, fat, I should say. Well, it would list oil, I'm sure, too. But anyway, I drain that so that there's no liquid on it. I didn't get out of that whole panful. I did not get even 2 tablespoons. And I poured that over the cat's food, and they didn't like it. Or the one didn't like.
How much crumbles did you use?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. 2 packages. That's equal to 2 pounds of ground beef. I actually bought 3 because I thought I would need it. By the time I dumped it in, just by eyesight, I knew that was going to be plenty because it feels and looks like a lot more when you get it opened and spread out in the pan than what the size of the pan. I mean, the bag is only, I think it's only 12 ounces. And I don't know that there's any other brand of that. I've only used the Morningstar, let's see, net weight, yeah, 12-ounce bag. And they're always in, they're a green bag, and it's got some bright blue on it for the banners. It says Grillers. Morningstar Grillers Recipe Crumbles. I can call them Crumbles. Morningstar Crumbles. Okay, so that was the filling. Have it well drained and cooled. You don't want to be working with it real hot either. So you can make that up, you know, before you even start the bread dough. I did, because the bread dough for me is really simple. If you're doing it in a mixer, or you could do it in a bread machine and just make a smaller batch of them. Use the rest, you could use the rest of that filling, with topped over rice. You could do it. It would be a little bit drier. It doesn't have a sauce to it, of course, but it's a great mixture. And I mean, the flavor of it's really good. I didn't use the sausage crumbles. I know you can get sausage, and that would be another variation. So anyway, all you do then is roll out your dough. I take about a fourth of that batch and roll it at one time into a big flat sheet, and it takes a little bit of rolling, but since you're using whole wheat, it's nothing like rolling white dough pizza out. If you've ever done that and have to beat it to death to get it to flatten out, this is not hard. With the whole grain, it rolls out really nice and really soft. But still very stretchy. You don't have to worry about handling it. It's not hard to handle. Like, nothing like making a pie crust. A pie crust is the pits compared to making rolled out bread dough. So I cut it into squares about 6 inches. And then I roll those out to make it thinner. I don't want a lot of dough. I don't want a thick, puffy, big, thick dough around that filling. I want a minimal amount of bread on it. It's whole grain. It's got a great texture. You don't need, and it's very satisfying, guys. I mean, the kids that ate one of those weren't eating a lot of chips, I'll tell you that, because it's just very filling. And then you bake it at 350 degrees. It takes about, somewhere between, depending on the size, because I made a lot of them that were a good 5 inches in diameter. Probably one or two were 6 inches. I made them random sizes so they can pick them up. The little ones were about 3 inches square. And you're just taking the amount of dough and flattening it out. But you can get it down to way less than a fourth of an inch thick, closer to an eighth of an inch thick, the dough, when you're rolling it. And it's got enough stretch, it's not gonna, you're not gonna poke holes in it. You shouldn't. And so put a scoop of the filling on accordingly. I stuff them as full as I can stuff them. And then I pinch up, I've still got it in a square shape, or slightly rectangle. I pinch up opposite corners and pull them up in the center and then pinch them shut. You don't need to wet it down. It looks like they're not going to hold. And wet it down and you end up with a square. Is this making sense? Can you visualize? Yeah. They're pulled together and then cross point and then it's got a little bit more dough right in the center. And then you pinch the little seam lines together with your fingers. It looks like some of them aren't going to hold together quite. But get them as tight as you can. You might have to pinch it twice. And then flip them upside down so there's no seam. It's all on the bottom. I don't think there was, maybe there was one that leaked out a little bit. There's really no juice in there to leak out. It's not going to cook down to juice. So they're not going to be soupy. I put them on a totally flat cookie sheet. Nothing ran off. There were a couple little spots on the pan and that was it. 354, depending on size, somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes. I did brush the top twice, once before I put it in the oven with melted coconut oil because I wanted to look finished off nicely, no seeds or anything. And then I've also brushed them again just before they were, like about 5 minutes before they were ready to come out when I was testing them. You really need to thump them with your finger just like a loaf of bread to see if they sound a little bit hollow. Because that's the way they should sound when you go to, you know, doing it just like a loaf of bread. But once you put the second layer of coconut oil, they're not going to feel, you're not going to be able to thump them to see if it feels kind of dry. So mine were all baked well, max 30 minutes, I think, max. And again, you can tell by the color. I put them pretty much in the middle of the oven. And they're served with either, all my family used ketchup at the beginning. Now part of them use like mustard or Dijon mustard or hot and spicy mustard, whole grain mustard. I did find a bottle of organic, no high fructose corn syrup in it because I didn't want to take time to make my own, ketchup. Any questions on that, anybody?
Do you let them rest?
Oh, yes. Oh, thank you. Excellent question. I let them rise. I was in a hurry. They only needed about 15 minutes rise time because the dough's so thin, it's not going to get big, flat, fluffy, puffy. If you want to make bigger dough amount, you can. I think originally the Germans, when they were my grandmother was making them, they were always white flour or not white flour like our unbleached white flour, but white flour European style that still has some food value in it. It's just that, you know, it's the only thing they've ever known. It doesn't matter whether you're in France or whether you're in Germany or whether you're in Holland. The bread all looks the same over there pretty much. It's white, but it's not white like ours. But it's definitely not whole grain like ours. It's either like our brown whole wheat flour or whole wheat or whole spelt. So about probably at the very most 15 to 20 minutes, let them get just a little bit puffy. By the time I finished out one big pan full, which had over a dozen on it, the first cookie sheet, because I only filled two cookie sheets, and there was enough in that batch to make a nice small loaf. I'm sure it's got to be at least a 1 pound loaf of bread. I took the heel off of it to try it just simply because it's heavy. I didn't get that raised quite as much as I could have, it would have been a little bit lighter. I'm going to put it on the scales and see. I think it's, yep, it's a little over a pound loaf, and it probably would have come up with a little more time on it that I had to bake it and get out of the house. Probably, I'm going to say with the sourdough in there that cools it down a little bit, it probably would have needed 40 minutes to rise, maybe something like that would be a good.
Has left the conference.
So, we're past time, guys. Any last minute questions?
No.
Thank you for filling in with the questions. You might set it aside and try it later, unless you're already doing the sourdough and you want to jump in and try it. But I think any of you would really enjoy it for the effort. It sounds like a fair amount of work, but when you think that there's only three main ingredients in the filling, cabbage, onion, a little bit of garlic, and then the morning star crumbles, it doesn't take any amount of time to make the filling. So it's just handling the bread dough, and I was used to that. So were my kids, and they appreciated it for a Father's Day gift. So anyway, if there's
nothing more,
thank you for the questions to keep me on track and ask me the ones that I do automatically that I didn't even think to write down. And you guys make it a wonderful, healthy day.
Thanks, Char.
Thanks, Char.
You're welcome. Bye.
To learn more about NECANN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.